Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. One world, baby. It's time, y'all. It's time to open up your mind. It's time to raise up your voice. And it's time to be entertained, enlightened, and learn more about what you already know. It's showtime, and you're on the online happy hour. Now, for those that don't know, this show is designed for all of us to get an outside perspective on the inside of someone else's life. Here we go, folks. blogtalkradio.com/ how was your weekend? Be sure to spell was with a Z. The call-in number, ladies and gentlemen, is 646-727-3279. I want to say hello and welcome to the audience tonight. For those who have heard this show before and those who might be listening for the very first time, my name is Andy Brown, and I live vicariously through you. Broadcasting live out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, each and every Tuesday night, 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time, it's because of you, the callers, the listeners, the bloggers, that the show just gets better and better and better each week, and tonight will be no different. It's time to go on and get with it, folks. It's Tuesday, March 20th, 2012, and it is about to be a steer up in here, folks. Big shout out to all the folks that came out to the casting call this past Saturday. The casting call went great. For those who don't know, we're on the verge of doing the upcoming stage play, Second Place Women Who Come In First. Fierce Productions is doing an awesome job. It's about to go down like Bad Stock. Folks are getting their acting on. They did their Easter speeches and came out and performed very well this past weekend. And it's been great. You know, you're going to see more information coming up. We're reconstructing howwasyourweekend.com to make it more convenient for you, to make it more real for you, and to make it an avenue for all of us to link together and take our own self to the next level. Facebook, folks, you can hit us at facebook.com, howwasyourweekend page. Those who Twitter, the tweets come out, HWY Weekend. Follow me at andybrownspeech.com. Learn more about myself, life coaching avenues, and just being a better business social guru. Just want to do what I can to help. And tonight's show was brought to you in part by One World Unlimited, folks, who has one vision, one goal, to increase you. That's One World. Well, you've seen the text, you've seen the posts, you've heard about it, you know about it. We're going to have to get real on this topic. We touch nerves up in here. So if you are sensitive in any kind of way, it's okay to hang up now. If you really can't deal with real talk in the comfort of your own home, in Walmart on aisle 6, bathing your children, doing homework, folding clothes, whatever you do at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night, this just might not be for you if you can't take it. So the majority of the listeners, because we do a poll, would be considered African American, if you will. Now, there are certain situations where we talk about fitting in, wanting to be out and be elite, wanting to step up and do something different, or maybe just step away from them because they're a little too different. So we're going to talk tonight, folks, about African-American images, the token black. And you've seen them. You may know them. It might even be you at times. But it's the black person that's put in a situation, a job, if you will, you know, the movies, an event, a game, something of that sort. One of those situations, in order to please the black community and give the impression of racial acceptance. that it's okay. Well, we got our black person, we should be all right. A knockoff, if you will, of the old affirmative action, so to speak. We got to have one. Who's it going to be? So we're going to talk tonight, folks. If you feel the need to chime in, please believe it's okay to call in 646-727-3279. If the voice isn't just in you and you just want to kind of trip out a little bit, but you want to text and type your own message on this, join us in the chat room. It's blogtalkradio.com/ How Was Your Weekend? Run down the screen until you see today's topic, African-American Images, The Token Black. Click on the link, join us in the chat room, and let's act the fool. We're going to go ahead and get with it because I'm going to talk about it tonight. Not only am I going to talk about it, folks, but there's going to be some other folks from all over the country that's going to get down and get with it. So you folks in the East Coast, you may have seen her hanging out, you know, with the best of the best on the football field. My man Russ Parr doing his thing. Ladies and gentlemen, she represents Grambling State's very own. You've heard her voice speak many a night here on the online happy hour. She is the PR diva, Nika Watts herself, and I want to welcome Nika to the show. What's up, baby? How you doing? Don't get shy now. Huh. All right. Guess she's going to be a little quiet right now. Maybe I need to enlighten a little bit more on tonight's topic. When we talk about African-American images, the token black, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to look at all aspects of it. Who is the token black? Who's claimed to be? What do they do? What does it look like? How does it feel? So when we're looking at the token, we're looking at the one that we pick out and say that's the one that's going to be out front. Or they say that's the one that's going to be out front. If they need to cast somebody, he's going to be the one that, or she is going to be the one that is a little bit safe, not that intimidating, doesn't have the gold tooth in their mouth, all the flashy earrings, the tattoos across their face, neck, small of their back, inner thigh, you know, all that stuff that we do. That could be a little intimidating to some because they're safe, they're mainstream, they're not a threat. The natural pitch in their voice is a little bit different than ours because it's a little bit more like theirs.
Yeah.
The one that reminds them the most of them and their personality, and it's a little bit more relaxed to be intrigued. Because the status quo navigates, shifts over to this person, if you will, to say, we can let them in. Now, are they pioneering? Are they leading? Are they the first ones to get in? Because you may have seen them at your job somewhere, if you're employed right now. It could be the only one in the department. They're at work on time. They're maintaining. So they're doing what they got to do. If Nika, if you're there, go ahead and speak up, sweetheart. I know I got you in queue. But they exemplify safety. They're clean. We don't have to worry about this one. You know, Lawrence is fine. Tyrone is a threat. Kim is okay. Shamika might be a problem. Go home and get labeled. They look and appear a little bit different. So how does that person adapt into the environment to be considered or even get the opportunity, if you will, to be the token black? They're first. Well, what do? They're playing their game correctly, so to speak, if you will. Because you know you have to be able to communicate in different levels in different worlds. For those who don't know that, this is true. You have to be... The best word to use is bilingual. You have to be able to adapt to speak in any facet to any religion, and not religion, but any race, if you will, and not appear to come off as if you're just one-dimensional. You may live in the projects, but you don't act like you ghetto. You know, it's all about perception, how this person is coming off. So we're going to talk about that. If the looks and the style of someone in that position. Now, think about this. You see them at work, you know, they're not sagging, their clothes are neat, they look good, smell good. Now, this might not be the person that you might not hang out with, and that's cool, but they're doing their thing, and they're doing it for whatever reason. So we're going to look at all different angles. The token black, that is. We're looking at the angle of them moving up in the workplace. You've got the token that's saying, okay, I'm here. It's okay for us to be here, and for people that look like me can be accepted in this establishment. Maybe the first one kind of eases down the tension, that they're not all bad, that everybody doesn't look that way. Everybody doesn't act this way. So now the curiosity rises, and the others can come in now. There's an opportunity for more. Happened to me once when I was young, coming up, working on working at a little grocery store back in Kansas City. If for those who were listening to Kansas City, here y'all Raytown. Yeah, I was the first one at the little IGA. Just didn't really want it. Got fired from Shoney's because I walked out on the 40 top of people that came in there. I had to go. It was time to go kick it, and she was fine. So I left the money for the honey. Foolish. Anyway, I ended up working in a grocery store, making $4.25 an hour, which is far minimum wage, and then half the money I was probably making back then as a cook. But I was the first one there, the only one there. Was it uncomfortable? Yeah, but I took it upon myself to say, this is an opportunity, and if I don't do it correctly or take myself to the highest level that I can, you know, just even if it's just customer service, being nice, being friendly, being active, doing what's necessary, not coming in late, you know, not being disobedient, who knows what could happen. You know, years later, you see other black people working in this store, and it probably never would have happened if I hadn't gone through that. So how does somebody learn something like this? Well, education, situations, they'll teach you. I mean, we can get to it. Nika can tell you more than I can sometimes in a different way from a female perspective. Nika, you there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, sweetheart. How you doing?
I'm good. Man, I don't think I've ever been a token before, though.
Ever? But see, I have, and a lot of people might not be able to be like, oh, I can't really touch that subject. Everything I do is around black folks, or, you know, whatever. They just haven't been in that situation. Well, kind of coming up, I didn't even know it. Now, check this out. For the longest, when I was younger, my father got a better job, and it had to move us out of the hood, so to speak.
Okay.
So we had to move to another side of town, up north by the airport, before anything, just before cable television, just before, you know, this is like right, like late 70s or something. You know what I'm saying? So
okay. We
get to the neighborhood, and this is, you know, I'm just coming out the diaper stage, man. I'm coming out, I'm like first grade on in, and I'm the only, not only am I the only black person in the classroom, in the neighborhood, but in the school building.
Now that I've experienced.
So it's a shock.
Yes.
Big time.
Yeah.
Now, from a young person perspective, you kind of really don't look at it as an issue because I'm a kid. I'm just playing. I'm just out here tripping. But you do notice some differences. And you're the first to kind of do some certain things. You're looked at a little different. You might get some little snickers and some laughs and some, you know, some soft, you know, whispers over the shoulder. because you're intriguing. Kind of give us an example of what you've experienced in that aspect.
Oh, my God. My experience was horrible. I think I repressed that purposely because it was hurtful. I remember my mom was in the military. She had just went from reservist to active duty, and her first duty station was in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. And in the neighborhood that we lived in, we were only blacks. Well, it was us and it was this girl. They were sisters, Tracy and Stacy. And Tracy was in high school and Stacy was in elementary school with me and my sister. And we rode the same bus. So the three black people that go to our school was just us three. And we rode the same bus and lived in the same neighborhood. How ironic is that? But I was tormented. My sister and Stacy, not so much. But, like, I remember them calling me, like, Nigger Nika and stuff like that. It was bad for me. And then we ended up moving to the military base because of it. Like, it was that bad. And then when we moved to the military base, of course, because it's a military base, it was multicultural, so I didn't have that problem anymore.
Hmm.
But the same people who teased me. But you know what? It's funny. Now I think about it. There was one girl at our school. She was mixed, but she was passing. So she was one of the ones who teased me the most.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I just remember having to be smarter, having to be tougher, having to be, you know, stronger. So I played sports. Then I started in fourth grade, which was the first year that we moved out there. I played basketball, so I had to play basketball harder than them. And I think I was better than all the guys from what I remember. And it just made me have tough skin. So by the time I finished going through grade school, and when I went to Grambling, that was a culture shock to me because all through school I went to basically predominantly white schools. And I remember looking around and actually counting the black people in my class. So then when I went to Grambling and I sit there and I'm looking around like, we're all black. Wow. this is a different feeling when we're all black opposed to when it wasn't like that.
Yeah. It's like that. It can be a culture shock big time.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you go from the transition of just being the only one, tends to happen is we just kind of accept, okay, well, I'm different, and that's the way it is. But when you do that shift and you get back around all of us, it can kind of be overwhelming.
That too, and then, like, coming back on our side, I got teased a lot because I spoke proper. You think you white, you talk like you white, and, you know, that's a whole different story.
Ooh, we're going to touch upon. Folks, you are listening to Happy Hour tonight. We're talking about African-American images, the token black, the perception, the illusion, who is one, who's not one, what causes it. Now, we're not talking about somebody who's just wanting to only just be around other races only. But this is the token. This is the one that's supposed to be the one, you know, the only one. You know, I'm the only one that does this. I'm the only one in my neighborhood. I'm the only one that is in this department. And sometimes we may see this, even if it's not us, that person can feel an intimidation or threatened, even if you will, when somebody else is stepping up of their own ethnicity. Now, you would think in generally, you know, hey, I'm trying to help out my brother, man, my sister, whatever the case may be. But that fear factor kind of overwhelms, and they begin to be more like, well, I've been here, I've been the one, and they want to take over and take my spot. Really? I don't know about that. Text messages are coming in. The shy folks won't speak tonight, but that's okay. Text messages are coming in. They're saying they must think that Oreos are the better cookies.
Uh-oh.
Huh. That's different.
Hmm.
We'll keep that nameless on that one. What do you think about that, Nika? Do you think sometimes they'll be more intimidated? I say they, like, I'm just exempt, but I mean just that person. that attitude, that persona?
You know what? It just depends on the person, I think, in your upbringing and, you know, your situations. I think it's unfair, though, that we as African Americans put those types of pressures and stipulations on ourselves. Like, we have this whole thing, you're not black enough if you don't blah, 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 or you're not black if you're blah, blah, blah. But I really wonder, do white people say, you're not white if you don't blah, blah, blah? You know, like, do they put those same pressures and thoughts on them, on themselves? Like, because you're a darker-skinned white girl, you're not white. You know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, from the way we walk to the way we talk to the way we dress, to our skin tone, to our hair texture, to our hair color. And it's just really unnecessary. I think if we can overcome those things, we would be better as a race of people, period. And so certain stuff like that, I don't even think I want to touch it. I don't think I'm better than the next person because of what I look like. You know what I mean? Like, that old, you was a house nigga. Like, come on, really? Like, are we going there? Are we still using that in 2012?
Some are. Isn't that crazy?
That's ridiculous. Let that go. Let it breathe, B. We got a black president. Like, can we move forward?
That was just what I was about to say. Even with this being an election year, you know, there are people who stand behind, you know, President Barack Obama doing this thing and also looking for a second term, be sure to vote. We don't really consider him the token because he got in. People are going to say that, you know, on another level, but it is a perception. We got to think about that. 646-727-3279 is the calling number. Press 1 if you want to chime in and talk about this one. African-American images, the token black.
You know, I got a whole lot to say about President Obama and being token black.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
I think that
he just was a good guy, and he got in, and he had the formula that nobody else thought of. He just used a whole, you know, different, he was new. It was innovative what he did. You know, he targeted young black professionals, and he won us over. I mean, that's just that. Like, I don't think it was like, it's about time we had a black person in office. I mean, look how many people ran before him. So we had chances. Maybe it's a three times a charm type of situation. I really don't know, but I don't think it was because he was a token black. He just... America made him out to be a great guy, period. No matter what race he was just a great guy, period. I liked him.
Yeah.
He was a public figure. When he was Senator Obama sitting on Oprah, I was like, he's a great guy. Oh, my God. How can you not love him? I mean, really, if he would have been, you know, of another descent, I think I probably would have loved him the same. It was just something about him that made you love him. So I don't think that necessarily had anything to do with his skin color. It's an honor that he is, you know, of African descent, but I believe I would have voted for him if he wasn't, because he was a great guy. He was the best man for the job.
That's what's up. Kind of getting me over to my next point, you know, when black people tend to step out the box and do things that are predominantly, you know, something that white America may do.
Like, you know, skiing.
Golfing, skiing.
Skydiving.
You know, what's that little shuffle sport that they play? What is that Olympic sport? I can't even think of it. Bowling. They call it bowling, where you just...
Yeah, with the little ball and the spoon looking thing.
What is that?
The spooning thing that you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I haven't seen a black person do that yet, though.
Yeah. We get to talk about that, and it's like, well, if they step out the box and they do something a little bit different, they're selling out. Or they're doing, you know, that's not what we do. You know, we don't play golf. We don't curl.
That's it. The curling thing. That thing is crazy. Hey, I have two little cousins that are playing lacrosse right now. We don't do that either.
I don't even know what lacrosse is.
But one of them got a scholarship doing that, so I don't know. I think we might need to start.
We might have to start going to this phone line and take some calls in. 646-727-3279. I think we have a caller and pronounce. Pardon me if I'm pronouncing this wrong. We have Newbie on the line. If I'm pronouncing your name right. Nudie? N-O-O-D-E? No? I don't know what that was.
I hear something. They might have a bad connection.
Sometimes people be buying Sprint phones. And only if you're in Kansas City, Missouri, is a Sprint phone really going to be effective, especially after 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock p.m. So we can even elaborate a little bit more on the sellout aspect because, like you were saying, if we're doing something a little bit different, like lacrosse, anything of that nature, they're a sellout. We're just limiting ourselves to just maybe basketball and football and track, maybe shooting some pool here and there. You know what I'm saying?
Not
this is all that we do.
We do it all. We swim. We do water skiing. Jet skiing now.
Rope, rock climbing. Nah.
Yeah, all that.
But if you're the first and you pioneer and you're stepping out doing this, he's the token.
Yeah,
you don't want
definitely.
To be like us. He wants to choose and do what they do. Maybe they're not good at this. Really? Never even took into consideration that they wanted to step outside the box and expand their own thinking because they can do a little bit more than just what's expected or the norm. African American Images, folks, we're talking about the token black. And one thing that comes to mind, especially if you're looking on the page right now, is the image. I remember Alfonso Ribeiro's character, Carlton.
Yes.
If you had the choice to hang out with Will or Carlton, who would it be?
I always pick the bad guy, so it would definitely be Will. Not that I didn't like
Will.
Carlton, but I'm always the one that goes for the other. Like, I've never really been a fan of Carlton's type.
Carlton's
type. Yeah. See, I you know me, Andy. Like, I always go wrong. I think Carlton's type is probably the type of guy that I should pick. He's probably the safe guy, the more stable guy. But personally, I would always go for the opposite, the bad one, the one that I necessarily shouldn't get, the one that would be more of a challenge. But Carlton is definitely a catch, no doubt. We can hang.
Well, Carlton got the money.
Yeah. You know.
Mouthpiece.
We could definitely
Ladies.
Hang, though. But
ladies,
I would probably be in love with Will.
I wonder how many ladies would say that they would pick the Carlton character over the Will character. Honestly. And tell us why. That's interesting to me because you don't really, just like you said, you don't really see a lot of women gravitate to that guy until maybe they're, I don't know, 48, 49 maybe.
When it's too late.
When I got my mind made.
See, my mom always told me, Carlton would be like a nerd. And my mom used to always say, you got to date the nerds. Your problem is you don't, you know, you like the fly guys. And the fly guys aren't the guys, you know, that's going to handle business and look out for you, take care of you. It's the nerds. Those are the ones.
So the cool guys can never be the token? They can never be the
token? I'm sure there are some cool tokens that know how to play it, though.
Huh.
You know, they used to, what they call it back in the day when I was working with the military, they called it your double crossover. You know what I'm talking about? When you know you got one foot in and one foot out, so you can be cool and like I could do it. Like, hold on, let me switch it up. Oh my God, totally. So Andy, like, I'm hanging out with my friends and we, you know, that side, and then I have the for real, yo, like, you don't even want it with me today. You know, you got to be able to work on that double crossover. So there is some tokens that are hip. They have swag, but they working on that double crossover. You see them at work, and then they work clothes with their work colleagues, and it's somebody else. You know, his name might be Benjamin over there, and when he out with the homies, it's Benny. You know, Ben, you know what I mean? Like, that Ben right there. But when he's over there, good evening, Benjamin. How are you? Well, I'm fine, sir. And how are you? Okay. You know what I'm talking about. See, you laugh at Andy because I think you're that type. You're the guy that has perfected his double crossover.
Never heard a guy put like that before. Double crossover.
Double crossover.
I mean, I do have a crossover, but yeah. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I believe that there was a question that's being asked to you. The message is coming in. Hold on
Uh-oh.
One second.
Uh-oh.
Can a fly guy be responsible? Can a fly guy be responsible and have stability?
Yeah, of course. Of course. I believe that they can. I'm still kind of like going through trying to find my fly guy that's responsible. I haven't found him yet, but I'm sure he's out there.
Well, if the folks are listening, y'all better tune in, check it out. She's looking. We talking about
Oh my
about
God! Don't put me out there like that. That's not
African
even cool.
Images. The token black. I'm gonna use him to prove my point. They're not all the same. Hey, do you all eat watermelon? Does everybody eat chicken wings? We're about to go out to happy hour. They don't sell 40s, but do you still want to come with us? See, little coy things like that have been stated. You kind of almost want to punch somebody dead in their throat when they say something like that. But because you are employed and they do pay you a very nice salary, if you will, it's kind of you have to lean back and resist the temptation to do such. Now, we can overlook some of those things at times, but when do we really allow the token to, you know, stand up and do what they do? I'm going to get to the phone, Nika, and just let the callers chime in on this. We have RJ chiming in. RJ, you're on the online happy hour. Talk to us.
Well, there was a couple of things being said that I just wanted to kind of expound on. And one of them was, you know, you mentioned something about playing lacrosse. A lot of folks don't realize that Jim Brown was an All-American lacrosse player as well as an All-American football player. I mean, you know, so it's traditionally, you know, I mean, so to speak, a white sport, but I think that, you know, we can be good at that too. Then you guys were talking about President Obama and his likability, and I compare it to President Clinton. When he was in office, he was charismatic, he was well-spoken,
mm-hmm.
well-read,
yep.
wise, I mean, you know, could talk on any setting, and I feel that he just, you know, our president now just happens to be black, you know,
yeah,
white,
I agree.
Intelligent black man, you know, and so I just think that, you know, I just see it as when Bill Clinton was in office. And then, you know, we talked about being the token. You know, I think about my son, you know, he's back in a predominantly white school, probably the only one in this class and maybe a handful in the whole entire school. But the great thing about it, and I teach him this, to be intelligent as a person, to be intelligent, you know, and be the best you can be no matter who or what, you know, just be the best you can be, you know. And he's in the league program, and he's in there with some, you know, other Indian kids. But a lot of, you know, like a lot of the white kids are not in the class, in the league program, you know. So,
wow.
you know, I just look at those things. I think we got to teach our kids to be the best them they can be and to also have a crossover, you know, double crossover that you mentioned. I mean, because I think that, you know, unbeknownst to my mom, I lost my dad when I was young and things happened or whatever, and I was fighting in school when I was young, about 7 years old, and so she put us in a private Christian school. And it was all white, pretty much. But it allowed me to learn to be bilingual. That's what I call it. Instead of double, I call it bilingual. So I can understand how to relate with both, you know,
right.
African Americans, black, and, you know, to me it's not a problem. It just teaches you how that culture is, how our culture is, and you just see people for who they are, you know, not necessarily their color, you know.
Right.
And so, I mean, that's just all. I just want to comment on those couple of things.
You're a good
that's
guy. Mm-hmm, that's real talk.
All right, they appreciate the call chiming in. Folks, he brought up a real good point, man. I mean, it really starts from the children, because if we think about what we're putting in these children and the images that we're being portrayed, like when I mentioned, I was a child, I didn't really know, because, you know, the kids I was around, we didn't really see that. Sure, we just played a little baseball, a little basketball, and, you know, I just happened to be faster than naturally. That's just what it is. But, you know, you come into the existence later on in life, and then we look at, you know, these situations coming about where we have to, you know, kind of separate ourselves. And it would be cool if we could put that we're bilingual on our resume. But, I mean, it's not. I mean, this is just real talk, folks. It happens all over the place, in the workplace, at the movies, on the big screen, at different events. Nika.
Yep.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Appreciate the call, RJ. We got to go back to the phone lines, folks. 646-727-3279 is the call-in number to the online happy hour tonight. We're talking about African-American images, the token black. And speaking of black, we're going to bring him on the phone right now. My man, Tracy Green, representing out of Kansas City, Missouri. Big Tracy, what's happening?
What it do, brother? How you doing? How you doing, little Nikki?
Hi.
Bring me up to speed, brother.
You've seen some of them, the token blacks, if you will. You know, the ones that we think that they could be pioneers, they could be leading. Or then again, they could be considered, they just don't want to be around their own race and creed. They could be setting the tone in the job place, in the movies. Because Hollywood calls it, you know, they call the token the one that he's just in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to get the girl. He's not going to die first. He's just in the movie.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. The Uncle Tom nigga, that's what you said.
Wow. Somebody reached for the stars and pulled one down.
Yeah. I know what you're saying, brother. You know what, man? I can't even really too much speak on this one because I don't know cats like that. I don't hang around cats like that. You know, I mean, I'm the only one at my job, one other brother, that's it. And if you read my Facebook post, he about to get the axe any damn way being slick. So he definitely wasn't the token brother. Well, you know what, man? He came in late 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday. Didn't want to punch in because you know how the stickler rule is about late punches, niggas get rolled up, get fired, however you want to look at it.
Okay.
He asked his supervisor, who happens to be the assistant plant manager, you know, can I just work my 8 hours, and then tomorrow I'll just punch in at 6 and use that punch on the Tuesdays. Supervisor was cool with that. No problem. A day later, my supervisor looks at this dude's time card, which he had no business looking at it in the first damn place. He don't do his time. He don't enter in the system. Well, he looked at it, ran immediately to the boss, to the plant manager. Later, both these cats on suspension pending investigation from human resources. The jacked up part is my supervisor, instead of asking this other cat supervisor, who, by the way, was his fucking boss, he went over his head. And now I got them both put out. Now he's destroyed two cats' income.
Overpowered.
Yeah.
Now, see, we talked a little bit about that, just a touch about that before, because it sounds like, you know, when you're already in, you laid the foundation down. You're the only one. But then other people are trying to come in, they're trying to make their way, and you can be somewhat intimidated by their presence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why you can't just pull somebody to the side and be like, hey, even if you got to go old school, 72 on, hey, brother, you know, let me talk to you for a second, brother.
You know, you can't pull that with me. That homeboy hookup stuff, it just don't work with me. You know, like you come over to me and say, hey, let me talk to you, sister. Ah! Like the whole, no. Sorry. What? Can't do it.
You're going to have to understand, you can't do what you do out there. What you call it, the double crossover? You really can't dribble in here with your left hand when you normally used to dribbling with your right. It just ain't how the game is played up in this atmosphere.
No, not at all.
So we may not be conveying that to one another for the simple fact that, oh, okay, well, they got theirs. And they ain't going to look out after me. Number one, it's really not your responsibility as a person. But if you see this person is you know, hey, sometimes you got issues, man. Life happens. That's just being real, 100%, if it's real. If you're going to be a little late because you know, it was a thunderstorm, it was an automobile pileup. Folks are trying to get, you know, to their job on time, but they can't because of situations. You can't tell me you'd leave your house earlier.
Let me tell you something. And I could be wrong, this could be a racist statement, but you can't tell me there is not a black person in the world that has not called their homeboy or homegirl at work and was like, I'm running late, punch me in. I know I've done it. I know I've been the person that they've called to do it. You mean tell me you never had nobody call and punch you in?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I do it all the damn time.
That's cool. You're looking out for me. Thanks. You know what I'm saying? It's all good. But that extra stuff, like, I wouldn't be the person to take the extra step and narc on somebody. Like, that's not cool. That's really none of my business. Hey, that's how y'all do it. That's how y'all do it. Just you, hey, when it's my time, look out for me too, homie. Yeah, I'm good with that. But it's that other homeboy hookup stuff. Like, if you know I charge $300 for a certain service and you're trying to get it for $50, that's the one I can't deal with. But I'll hook you up, though. I'll punch you in. I don't have a problem punching you in. As long as nobody see me, I don't get fired. Yeah, I'll punch you in.
Trying to be like old Rochester back in the day. Yeah, boss, I got you, boss.
Mm-hmm. They be like, where's Karen? She punches Karen. Oh, I think she had to go to the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? I'll fill it for you. I'll hold you down.
Now, if you ever chimed in and you had to lock somebody in at your job, y'all are tripping. You're going to risk your own. I ain't not.
Well, let me ask you this,
Andy. I don't know your password like that.
You know that job where you worked at the call center or whatever the situation is with Best Buy people, they got a little punch in, you know, a little retail store. You put your little call in. Nobody knows the store is that big. They really can't tell if you're there or not. But on a real though, like, I don't know, I believe in karma though too. So if you are in that situation where you're the narc or that token, that Tom, that stuff comes back to you for real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've had a situation where somebody mistreated me at work, and it was my superior was an African-American woman, and I think that, honestly, this is the true story, she was kind of, like, a couple years older than me, but she was kind of heavy. She had 3 kids at home, and you could tell she let herself go. I believe that back in the day, though, before she started having those babies, she probably was fly. Like, I saw her wedding, she had a nice body. She was tight. So now, you know, you older, you have these babies, her hair used to look crazy to me. I used to always say her hair looked like wheat or straw. Like, she just, it was dry, it just wasn't done, it wasn't right. And so her husband came up in the office once. And ever since that day her husband came up in the office, I'm cute, you know, I'm single, I'm slim, my hair done, you know, my gear tight. She gave me the blues. And they used to, like, my coworkers, like, the white ones would always ask, well, do you think that she treats you like that because you're black? She kind of mistreats Brittany, too, but not, she didn't do Brittany as much, but she did me real hard. And I promise, like, to this day, I felt like It was because I was an African American girl, but it was because I was an attractive African American girl coming up behind her. I was swift, did my job, I was there on time. If I had to stay late, I was late. You know, I handled my business, but she can be intimidated by it. And she ended up firing me. But the funny thing is, she ended up getting fired, and the person that replaced her was someone that we told her not to hire in the first place. We didn't think that that person was incompetent enough to even do the job. It was a little white chick that replaced her with no skills, and we told her not to hire her. So it's funny how karma works. So I'm sure that dude, he going to get it back. Time be the token.
Incredible. Ladies and gentlemen, we talk about real stuff up in here. Now, I don't know, some people can't relate, some people can't relate, but I'm going to paint a very vivid picture for you right now. We're talking about token blacks, the only one in. Tracy up there, he's in Kansas City, he knows the area. I'm going to tell you what went on with me. As a little, I told y'all a little bit about this before, coming up as a little kid. I didn't see it all. It was just, I was around predominantly white folks Monday through Friday in school, and then we go on the weekend, we around our family. So it's a little bit different, you know, because the atmosphere has changed. The conversation has changed. The dialect has changed. Now I'm going Monday through Friday talking a certain way. You know, I got the Carson Banks voice on because it's just how I'm talking. That's how they talking. That's how I'm talking. So you get looked at a little bit differently.
Hey, Andy, let me hear your Carson Banks voice.
I'll find it. Give me a second.
Well, let me ask you this, Andy. Could it be that some people do this shit like this, man? It's kind of like a false sense of job security. But, you know, if I'm not so much the office snitch, but the one that happens to always be in the middle of shit and got an answer. Or the one that, hey, boss, he's not out there doing what he's supposed to do. Or he checked in at this particular time, you know, just thinking that they're going to keep their job because they got a family to feed, knowing that actually you're the first nigga to get fired to do shit like that. Because I'm going to tell you something.
Oh,
when a snake know a snake.
Mm-hmm. You have no loyalty.
It's that simple. You coming and you telling me all this about this person, that person, that person. Well, hell, I can't trust you either.
Nope.
Exactly.
So that's why I call it a false sense of job security, because you really ain't got no job security.
No. It's on you, and like
Nika
said, karma comes back.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me tell you, man, because, see, this supervisor that I'm talking about that's in trouble, it is his karma coming back, because this company that I worked for, I worked for them before, and it was a little lackadaisical, you know what I mean? It was cool back then when we were in North Kansas City. We're in Texas, Kansas now, bro, but we were in North Kansas City. And so at the end of the shift, you know, our boss would leave, the plant manager at the time, he would leave around 5 o'clock. Our shift wasn't over to 10. And he only told us one thing, whatever you do, if y'all all leave right behind me, somebody go back and clock all y'all out. Cool little white dude, older man, he was cool with it. So you know how brothers are, three brothers and a Mexican. Well, all I can say is one brother rolling up a joint, one Mexican on the table snorting, and two brothers smoking cigarettes and drinking for 4 hours on the job, which was not a problem. But I left this company, man, and my homeboy, I find out he gets fired. Well, he got fired because the same thing that the boss told us to do, the supervisor caught him doing.
Oh, wow.
Hold it on him. Went to human resources. They end up firing the cat for that shit. So now
his coming
back to him because now he's in the hot seat. They've been suspended for a week now. They ain't coming back. They gone.
That's crazy. That's also Kansas City for you.
Say what?
That's everywhere.
It's also Kansas City for you, man. It's like that. It's the crabs in a bucket mentality, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's everywhere.
See, I work in
Kansas. Stuff like that happens in Baltimore, too. It's the same old thing, that crabs in a barrel. I think that's just a universal black thing.
To be in that situation trying to pull somebody else down.
Yep.
Because you're trying to be the one, the only one, like you got the right to that position.
Whatever. The only way you're really gonna have a life in your own position is if you have your own business.
Oh, I ain't paying you shit. You got chicken wings and your pizza in there. That's all you get.
I need to understand that. Well, you're doing all this chicken wings and pizza right now.
Well, you talk about some chicken wings and watermelon earlier.
Right. Folks, you don't understand. This is how we get down on the online happy hour. You come out to Leo's in Fort Worth, it's down home. We got that feel to it. 1101 Oak Grove Road, man. Chicken wings, hot wings, live music, pure entertainment, spoken words. That's how we get down out there at Neo's, man. Come check us out. Friday night and also on Saturday nights, doing the big out there as well. This dude, what you getting to eat, man? I need to know this real quick. Tracy, where you at?
I'm at home, brother.
Did you say something about some chicken wings and
and pizza?
Oh, no, that ain't for you. No, that ain't for you at all, man. That's for my nice little lady that just came through the door.
Oh.
You know, she's a Kansas City woman. She ain't going to turn down no chicken wings.
Hey, ask her if she had her choice, would she pick Will or Carlton?
You want some steak? Well, I got some tube steak. I got some tube steak right here.
I want damn tube steak. I want some fucking tube steak.
If we look at, folks, the reality, and not only the perception, this dude is
you know
a
what, man? And the,
yeah.
I got it. The token nigga just came right through the door. You know, she know I'm on a fixed income. I'm trying to do right.
You used to be on a fixed income, nigga. What?
I'm 44. I don't play ball no more. I can't do that shit no more. Hey, man, I ain't mean to interrupt the program, bro. Go ahead, man.
Boy, you out of control.
Hey, you knew that was in school. Grandma taught me that.
Now, look, I don't put up my big one. Old Gremlin, dear Gremlin.
We got to love GSU, folks. Send your child there for great education and also a lifetime commitment of fun and excitement.
Are we supposed to learn there?
Yes,
hey, I got my education at Gremlin. I don't know what you talking about.
Yeah, okay. What you
want to
eat,
baby? So, we asked this question earlier, Tracy, and maybe you can help us out. I asked you this question because, you know, from a female perspective, we're talking about tokens in the perspective.
Uh-huh.
You remember the show, Fresh of Bel Air, right?
Yeah.
Who would you rather hang out with, Carlton or Will?
Honestly?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to play Carlton.
Oh, man, I said Will. Why you say Carlton?
No. I don't think it got
Carlton
a lot of bad
money.
Feedback from somebody. No, I said Carlton because, I mean, Carlton got the hookup. He know where everything is. He know the friends with money, the quick ones I can rob. You know, it's just how it is.
I told you, Nika, he got the money.
Yeah, Will. I always pick the bad guy. I said that.
You want some
phone lines are lit up right now. Y'all know y'all acting a fool, tripping out to the online happy hour right now. I love to call them, man. Y'all call in every week. Y'all sit back and y'all chill, whatever it is y'all doing, and you got your phone posted up, you know, speakerphone, or up to your ear with your Bluetooth. Just listen to us trip out and keep it 100 each and every week, man. This is what it's all about. Chime in and give us your take on this. 646-727-3279. Press 1 to get in. The switchboard operator's going to take care of you. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and you call in within the next 2 or 3 minutes and chime in on this topic, I have a special gift for you. You know the book is out right now, Second Place Women Who Come In First. It's also a stage play that we're putting together here in the DFW.
Starring me.
I'm sorry?
I said starring me.
We're going to have to be doing another casting call. We did one casting call this past weekend, and we're doing another one here in April.
Yeah.
Our location will be given pretty soon.
I'm
calling in and give us your take on this and make sure you get a copy of the book tonight. So we're going to get real with it and go back to talking about African-American images, the token black. that particular token person, whoever they might be, I want to look at it from a female perspective, Nika.
Okay.
Because what about that only black female, whether she's in that entertainment role, she's the only one getting those roles. So she's the only one in that image, but she's working for hers. You know, she's the parts that she gets, because she's fine, she look good, she smell good, comes off as the hoe. But she's the one getting that role. She's the one getting that part. Is she the token, or is she really the hoe?
Pretty soon,
she paid.
Okay, cool.
Wow. You know what came to my mind when you said that? And Lord, please forgive me. And I hope there is no, like, backlash from this. But, like, Halle Berry, when she first came out.
Mm-hmm.
Does she make you feel good?
Hey, she won an Oscar for it.
Got an Oscar. Didn't do too much of shit else after she got it, but she got an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it for me if you don't mind. What is the female perception, especially from the black woman?
I mean, when it comes to, I would say the media, that type of America, it's normally like the fair-skinned woman that gets those accolades. She gets those breakthrough roles. I think it takes a lot more work and effort from a woman who is a darker skin. And I say that to say, like, the movie The Help. You know, those women were not, you know, your typical glamorized, beautiful women, and they acted their behinds off, and you see kind of the difference between those roles and then roles that Hollywood has played. And I mean, at this point, it's kind of like you have to play your position, I guess, because
wow.
You don't really see that many women of color in like a major blockbuster film with women, you know, with other people playing the love interest or being, you know, that sexy woman. Like, I consider myself a dark-skinned woman, a brown-skinned woman, whatever. I'm not the woman. Like, women that look like me aren't the women that would get a role where they would be playing, you know, against a superstar cast. Like, the only one that ever did it to me would be Whitney Houston. And, of course, they called her the Voice of America when she did the Bodyguard with Kevin Costner. But you don't see too many dark-skinned women in a role where they're playing, like, the love interest or, you know, the beauty of a white guy.
You mean to tell me that Angela Bassett wasn't Michael Jackson's mama and getting her groove back with Taye Diggs?
But she, you haven't seen her do that with a white guy. But Halle Berry did it more than once.
Courtney Vance, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to say that, Courtney Vance. BlogTalkRadio.com/ How was your weekend? I want to go to the phone lines and see if the folks got to chime in and hear what Nika had to say about this. Let's talk to my man Clayton. Calling here at the Dr. Texas. Clayton, you're on the line. Talk to us tonight.
Hello?
What's up, Clayton?
Can you hear me?
Absolutely.
Can you hear me now?
We hear you. Can you hear us?
Clayton, talk to us, man. What's going on? Welcome to the show.
Yeah, I can hear you, but I don't think you can hear me.
We hear you.
Oh, we can hear
you. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, first comment that I want to make is that I want to say that, you know, you are absolutely right. But, you know, it's funny how when you said how those women that was not the typical glamorous, I guess if you want to say black female, that they end up getting those roles. And it's funny how I felt like they did a way better job than what Meryl Streep did, but for some odd reason they didn't win the big one.
Right.
Which I kind of wondered that if it had been a more lighter complexion black women, would they have won it? Makes me wonder that.
Mm-hmm.
Second thing, about, you know, this topic, I'm going to tell you, I live this, I have lived this for so many years. And I'm just going to say this, and people can take it for what they worth. I'm going to tell you this right now. If it is the only brother, and he is the hiring manager, if it is the only brother in that department, and I walk into that department for a job, I already know I'm not going to get it. And I'm going to tell you why I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to get it because guess what? I look like him. So he no longer sticks out. And since he no longer sticks out, he's no longer special. Since he's no longer special, guess what? You done took all of his shine. And now since you taking away his shine, he going to do everything he can to make sure you no longer work there.
Wow.
Yeah, I felt like that happened to me.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, it's happened to me too many times. And then I'm going to tell you even something that even I've gone through for over 6 years. If it is a black female in position of power, now listen to what I'm going to tell you. If it is a black female in position of power and she is the only black female in there, I know I'm going to get that job because I look like her and I talk like her and I act like her, and she needs more people like me. See the difference? That's why I already know strictly if it's a black female and she's the only person of color in their job and she see me walking in their door, I know right then and there I have a higher probability of getting that job versus if it is a token brother and he see me walking up in there, then I have a lower probability of getting it.
And I think it goes the same way with if it was vice versa. Like if it's a black man that's the hiring manager opposed to, you know, a black female, it's the same thing for me. Like if I get the job and I'm hired by the black female, she's going to throw me under the bus. She's going to give me, like, hell and then some because she's not going to want me to grow and flourish and, you know, take her position.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if I'm attractive.
Whereas whenever you have what I've seen, understand this, what I've seen is I've seen white people, for instance, have how to bring on their friends that don't even have any qualifications, but they're a friend, and they're going to work for them, and they're because they want to put money in their pocket. Whereas I see that in the Hispanic community. I see that in the Jewish community. I see it in every other community but our own, and that's the shame of it because it's not a lot of us in these higher-up positions to where they have enough faith in us to make these decisions to hire on other people to make their company better, whereas they've had to work their butt off to get to where they are, and they feel like if you ain't working as hard as they've worked, or if you haven't committed to as much time as they have committed to get to where they are, then they don't feel that you've even earned it. So
since
you haven't earned it, and since you haven't earned it, they're not going to go all out to help you out. When they don't look at the bigger picture here is, look at this, the more that you see a lot of some of the same people, the higher probability other people can bring in other people to then you can infiltrate that entire system to where then you can get in there and you never know what other job opportunities may span from that. But being as black people, we don't always think like that. And that is one of our biggest Achilles heels. Just, you know what, we've been diagrammed from day one to not even like each other. Because when you think about it, and even goes back to slavery days, when you look at those old plantations, what those old plantations didn't have that you would think they should have had in order to keep all them slaves in there? You would think that they would need a fence, right? But you look at those old plantations, they don't have any fences. They put another brother up on a horse with a gun and said, if anybody runs, shoot them. Not even once thinking that if I can knock him off, guess what? We are all free. You see what I'm saying? That's our mentality. That's why we struggle in the way we do, and that's why we're so divided in the way we are, because we can't even do the simple thing of trying to help somebody else out that's trying to hustle like me.
I agree. But the sad thing about that is, even when we do, you know, there's some of us who say, all right, I'm in a good position, I'm going to help my folk out. And then, you know, you hire your homegirl, your friend, your cousin, whatever, and then they get in there and then they don't match up to what you're doing or your level. Like that white person, they'll, hey, dude, this is the ropes. This is what it is. They'll cover you. They'll help you. They'll look you, look, you know, look out for you. We won't do that for our people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if our people aren't measuring up, we'll kind of leave them out to dry. Like, we won't cover them. We won't look up. Like, how many times have you went somewhere and it's like, oh, that's the owner's son-in-law or daughter-in-law or cousin or whatever, whatever. And they'll make excuses for them. That person still worked there. It's, you know, it's no issue. Let it be us. And that's the same situation.
Look.
Oh, they got it.
I'm sorry, I had to fire your brother
because he just wasn't handling it, baby. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I give you a prompt example. The last job I had, I can't give out specifics, but, well, hell, I'm going to do it anyway. I ain't working there. I was working at the North Texas Job Corps, and at this point in time, I had just started working there as a career counselor. Now, there's a certain process that goes by when it comes to getting rid of government documents. And at this point in time, I didn't know the process because I was still – I had just started the job, and I was still in training, so – I thought you just threw them away, you know, like, because we're on a government facility, so they're going to come from a standpoint and get rid of it the way they normally do. That's what I thought. But this one lady that brought me in that I've known since I was in diapers, she called me up, wanted me to come work for her, so I come work for her. And then as I'm working for her, she's the one that tried to get me fired because she takes pictures of all the stuff I threw away in the trash to HR. And she never once. You know what? She could have easily have said, hey, boy, you know what? You can't throw that stuff away. Get your big head cell phone in there and get that stuff out of there. Don't you ever do that again, man. You can mess around and get fired over that. But no.
Yeah.
What she decided to do was to go tell HR about it, and then I had to write a statement about it and was suspended for 3 days until they did the investigation. And then they, you know, they kept me on, you know, because they say that, you know, through the investigation, they looked at it as this was not something that you just did, you know, intentionally. This was unintentional, you know, and I'm thinking that, look, if you really were protecting me, you could have easily have said, this is what you need to do, X, Y, Z. But to try to drop me in a grease like that and then to, I mean, really? And I'm looking at you like, I've known you since before I could walk, and this is what you're going to do to me? Really?
Yeah.
It's a shame, man. I mean, the fact of the matter is, folks, this is a real topic, whether you want to believe it or not. Like some folks can say they can relate. There are some on here that cannot relate. But we're going to bring you the truth. We're going to keep it 100. None of this is scripted. So we're just being honest, we're being candid, and we're giving you your voice to chime in on this particular show. Clayton hit it on the head. She hit it on the head. I mean, the truth is what it is, folks. So we look at how what is the perception now of someone considered a token black? What is their perception, and what is it? That, is there anything that can be changed about this? I mean, is this something that's going to continue? And how do we stop this? I mean, the pioneer is one thing, because you're going to have to be first in something. And we definitely have to applaud your efforts and your strength for wanting to and having the desire and the courage to be first. But when you get in that position, what are you going to do now that you're there? You're going to hold people back? You're going to be crabs in the bucket? Or are you going to have the key to the door to let people come on in? If you're in that position, Clayton, what do you do?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I've been in that position. Thing is, you know, here's the thing. I help out those that want to help themselves. Like, if I see that from my background checks on you, and if the things I find out about you are just basically saying, look, all this guy needs is an opportunity, regardless of the things he's done in the past. If this guy is out hustling, you know, legally, but if he's out there hustling and he's trying to make something of himself, I'm going to do everything in my power to get him to where he needs to be, because I know what it takes to get there now. So why would I not help him get there? Because he don't know, but I do. And I'm thinking that if I help him, guess what? He's going to see that, and then he's going to help somebody, and he's going to help somebody. But the problem with our society and that whole situation is that it doesn't benefit you none to help other people anymore, because everything is so fickle. Because one person that you bring in, and here is the catch of the dilemma, One person you bring in could have an ultimate deciding factor on your career. Because
yeah.
you bring in one person that don't fuck, that don't work for whatever reason. Now when you go up and want to get into higher upper level senior management positions, your judgment then gets questioned. Because
mm-hmm.
then people say, well, do we really want to put this guy in this position because you remember this guy he brought in? Or you remember that guy he brought in? Well, when they do that, now your ability to make sound judgment comes into question, and you be thinking,
mm-hmm.
okay, y'all are not looking at this whole situation of why this person didn't work out, because I know their person well. They're going to be like, yeah, and since you know him, you should have known better that this guy was not going to work out. So any kind of way it goes, you lose. But to answer your question, what you really need to do is, quite simple, this is something that has been ingrained in our damn near in our DNA within black people. We have to basically re-scrap everything and start learning how to be black people all over again. Because the truth of the matter is, I used to be able to walk in any neighborhood to have black people there and speak to them, and everybody be cool with everybody. Now you go around two blocks in the same damn neighborhood, these people be total strangers. That's the problem with our society. That nobody knows nobody. Since nobody knows nobody, everybody is going to be self-sufficient and worry about themselves. And if you know anything about history, history has taught us that greed and selfishness has been the number two, one and two declining issues in any great society. And that's why our society is the way it is. That's why black people, why we treat the way we do with each other. It's for the simple fact we do it for the flat-out reason of we don't even understand the difference.
Wow. Profound. Nika, your comment?
Don't
let him put a hush on you.
Yeah, he really did. There's a hush over Jerusalem, like you were saying. that's real. It is really real. And I think we experience it every day. It's that whole cover your ass situation, or what I would say, yo, you got to dot all of your I's and cross all of your T's, because you never really know. But I don't really know if that's like really real what it is. Like, are they really judging you by your decision to hire this person or that person, or if it's in our minds? Because my thing is, I think that if you go to bat for somebody to hire someone and get them in because you just believe in them, or you really want them to have the job, or it's your friend, you're really trying to get them in, then it plays that part. But if it's someone that you've kind of hired on that you don't really know, it was a group collective decision, then it's kind of something different. But I think that's when they start messing up, that's when people tend to start trying to cover themselves and throw them under the bus.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, dang, I thought this person was going to work out. And then it could also be a, dang, this person is working out better than I thought. Like, you might feel intimidated by this person, and you need to get them out of there.
Right.
They can alleviate your position because this person is doing it and this person is handling it. But, I mean, personally, as for myself, if I get in, I don't have a problem with bringing someone in that situation, especially if I think they're qualified. The tricky thing is that, you know, I'm in public relations and in the communications aspect. Not everybody I know works in my field, so it's not an easy transition. And I'm serious about what I do, therefore I'm not, you know, prone to say, hey, come on, let's work. Come on, I'm doing this project. I'm working on this project. Let's work. Like, I really need to know that I know that I know that you're qualified, because everything changes so quickly in my industry and in my field. You have to be current. You have to be up on top of your game. And I don't have the time to waste on someone who's not as hungry as me, you know, like, who's not trying to eat, who's not trying to survive, who's not trying to, because that'll bring me down altogether. Like, trying to catch you up to speed on where I am wastes my time and takes me totally out of pocket and out of my game. But I don't want to be that way. But if you qualified and you can do it, come on, let's get it. Let's get this money. Let's eat. Let's
right
collab.
On.
Give
like,
me I don't
money,
have
baby. I'm with you. Folks, if y'all don't know this lady, you need to get to know her. If you are on any type of social network, media whatsoever, and you're trying to stay in the know of what's going on,
follow this young lady. She's doing it. She's doing it big, folks. Nika Watts, Watts in the know. Nika, tell them a little bit about yourself and what's going on with you so they'll understand who this is on the phone.
I am a publicist. I am also a journalist. I write for the Baltimore Examiner right now. I have done some stuff for 66 Raw as well as a couple of other blogs. I have my own website, www.nikawatts.com. On there, you can also see my listen to my podcast, which is Watts in the Know, as he mentioned. I am on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at I am Nika Watts, and that's Watts, W-A-T-T-S. I'm also on Facebook, www.facebook.com/NikaThePRDiva. Holler at me. Like, I'm around. I get a lot of information on what's going on so that I can keep you in the know of what's going on in your city and so forth. So I'm what's up now. I tweeted my own horn. I'm what's up.
You like the new Flo Anthony?
Yeah. And you guys can catch me. I do chime in on how was your weekend every now and again.
Right. Coming soon, folks. We got to welcome her back. She was on with the first season, folks. Y'all got to understand this lady. She got some knowledge. She got some true information. She keeps it down. So if y'all know anything about keeping it real and keeping it 100, this is the contact you might need to follow. If you just want to know what's going on, you ain't got to really say it yourself. Let her say it for you. It's going down. Representing tonight, folks, the callers were amazing. I mean, we talked about some real stuff here. I know we got under some people's fingernails. I know we scratched some backs. I know we talked real hardcore times. But, you know, you got to think about this. It's all about perception when we really talk about images. It's not the standard. You know, I'm bringing it back to the movie Life when Clayton was talking about, you know, there's no fence. My manager shoots you down because they put that person in control. And it's a mind game that's been played on, you know, Black America so long. We don't realize it. We don't understand it. And some people shun away from it because, you know, they're afraid of what their coworkers may think, or they're afraid of what their peers may think. But you know it deep down in your heart that it is a real issue and that these things go on. You know, there is that one person that has to set the tone. Now, what they do with that position once they get there can kind of dictate how things are going to flow. That intimidation level, come on, man. You got to think about it. If baseball was what it was and Jackie Robinson was like, nah, don't really think anybody else can play as good as I can. I don't think you should go get him. The game would be changed. You know, if Earl Lloyd, the very first Black American to play in the NBA, was like, nah, I don't think you should go get them. I'm only one you need. I can handle this all by myself. The NBA wouldn't be what it is. Somebody in that particular company that you work for, if they didn't get their foot in the door and they were like, nah, I think I'm good. We's okay, boss. Everything's all right. You wouldn't get the opportunity that you have right now. So we got to think about this. We're going to talk about this in full depth each and every week. Not only this particular topic, but everything that goes on. You need a sense of reality. You need to understand what the deal is and what's happening. So we're going to keep it 100. I mean, each and every week we do it big. We do it real. This is the online happy hour. Big thanks to my girl, Nika Watts, Watts in the Know. My man, Tracy Green. Y'all know Tracy is the fool, representing GSU to the fullest in Kansas City most. RJ called in earlier. You know, all the folks that are on the phone right now and all the callers that were chiming in, I mean, think about it. This is a real talk show. We don't step out. We don't bleep and blam and take words out because we keep it 100. We let you have your own opinion. Callers call in from all over the country to promote, listen, and do their thing. Now, we're making some changes here, folks. I want to keep you out on the brush about what's about to happen.
We're not saying this to brag or to boast, but to let you know that the opportunity is presenting itself right now. If you know someone that is doing something with themselves in a positive light, whether it's their business, their talent, their writing skills, anything that they're doing with children, whatever it might be, let them know they need to come to How Was Your Weekend? Spell Was with the Z. The website is changing. The avenue is changing. We're making it the information site for all of us to get to know what's going on. There's going to be a tab in here for the studio. Any up-and-coming artist that's trying to get recognized out here, holler at us, man. We want to make sure that you get your opportunity. If there's somebody looking for jobs across the country, we're going to post that. This person is hiring. How to get your resume together. Different events that are going wrong. Different plays, different media outlets. You may not get this from the top dogs in the game, but we start somewhere, and let this be your platform. It's not about who Andy trying to be all that. He thinks he's trying to do all this. Whatever, dude. It's so not about me. I'm good with mine. I'm going to get mine regardless. But if you've been looking for your avenue, it's being creative for you. Take advantage. Some people get scared about the cost. It's going to be cost-effective for you. But if I were you, I wouldn't wrap everything around a dollar. I'd look at the return on the investment that whatever, however much I'm putting in, whether it's $20 or $2,000, don't get caught up on the dollar. Get caught up in what is this going to do to invest into what I need to happen. Because that's really going to set you apart from everybody else that says that they got a business, that says that they want something different. Now, here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, today alone, there was a thunderstorm, and I'm pretty sure there was a lot of people that didn't want to get up out their bed to go to work today. But you did because you had to. What if you didn't have to? Well, How Was Your Weekend is stepping up, and we'll say that we're creating an image of African-Americans. We're going to be that token black that steps up and says we're going to be the leader to open up the gates. We're not closing the door on anybody's face. We're not going to say when you come here, we're going to take your ideas and run with them and use them like they're ours, because we got this. We're going to do this with you, without you, or even in spite of you. But you need to learn and understand it's going to grow regardless. We're asking you to come aboard, let yourself be known, let your talent showcase so that you can put yourself in the position to get recognized and have a better life and a better lifestyle for yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, the information age is here. This is online is where it's at. We're out of the generation that had to go out and plant seeds and crop and farm. That's gone. Generation where they had to build buildings and work construction, that's gone. This is internet. Folks are working from home. They're being recognized online. They're getting paid online. A lot of folks don't think it can happen for them, but it can. Stop being scared. Stop using that as a crutch. Fear is only a disease. It bothers me each and every day. I see a lot of posts on Facebook about I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Prove it. You prove it for one reason every day. I can be lazy as hell through Christ who strengthens me, and I won't get nothing done. But it sounds good, and I get a whole bunch of likes. But if I step out and do something different, and I do what I'm supposed to do with my life, then I'll really enjoy it more. And I'll really prove that the scripture is true. Take advantage, folks. This is what's about to happen. Nobody's trying to sell you any wolf tickets. We're about to make this a reality for you. Anybody that knows me, Nika can tell you, we all went to college together. Who would have ever known we're about to put on a stage play? That's pretty big. And we're asking folks to come out and be a part of this. Get your act on. Get your third grade Easter speech on, for real. Nah, they doing too much. Y'all tripping. This is reality. We about to make it happen,
And we're asking y'all to be included. If you don't want it, that's fine. There's other people that will get it. Next week, we're going to come back and we're going to hit you with some real talk. 100%. Y'all remember my girl Sherry Johnson from Punky Brewster Days? Super fine girl. I think you may have saw her on Family Matters. She was Laura's homegirl. Well, Sherry's going to be on the show next week. We're going to talk about a few things with her. So, Brubman's been here. Joe Torrey's been here. Miss Thea Vidal's been here. Mr. Earl Lloyd's been here. You've been here. Nobody's above anybody else, folks. We do it real up in this place. The online happy hour is where it's at. Log in, listen, and learn, folks. I've had a great night. I don't know about y'all, but I've had a great night. It's been wonderful. Keep in mind, folks, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the stage play is coming out. Fierce Productions, along with How Was Your Weekend, is putting it together. And we're going to give you a fantastic production. Now, anybody who went to GSU, Grambling State University, knows if you get booed off stage, it's a wrap. Well, we got that part. We ain't going to let that happen. We're taking all the right steps to make sure that we give a fantastic production. So, folks, get ready. The movement is here. How Was Your Weekend is not going anywhere, despite what the critics may say. It's not going anywhere. We're going to do what we got to do to make sure we continue bringing you the heat, keeping real conversation out there, letting folks go and do their thing, and let the reality stay where it is. So the book is available, folks. Second place women who come in first can now be purchased online, Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble Nook, and you can also go to my website at andybrownspeaks.com. Hit the contact page and also go to products. You'll get it right there. Download your copy today online. And if you need the paperback copy, go to Andy Brown Speaks. We'll be sure to get you one. So follow us on Facebook, folks. Understand what's going on. Letting you know that your business is your business. And come here on the show, trip out, have a good time, represent yourself to the fullest. I'm thoroughly enjoying myself. I want to thank Nika, Clayton, holding it down, my man Tracy. One World Unlimited, baby, this is what it is. Superfly Events. It's going down, folks, all the way like bad stock. I'm going to have to go out to Neo's this week and grab me some of them good old chicken wings out there in Fort Worth. So as we wrap up the show today, folks, I want to thank those who chimed in and gave their insight. I want to thank the folks who are on the phone right now who've been blogging and been listening and expressing their thoughts both on Blog Talk Radio, How Was Your Weekend, Facebook, and also sending me these crazy text messages as well. Because of you, you make the show what it is. Now, if you had a good time tonight, folks, and you got some good information, you know, do us a favor. Tell about five more people to chime in next week because Miss Sherry Johnson is going to be on the line with us, and we're going to keep it real with her as well. So get ready, folks. The funk is coming. It's about to stink like some nasty armpits, and it's going down like bad stock, folks. Get ready. My name is Andy Brown. Keep God first because with him, anything is possible. We are all living proof of that. Good night to my fam, good night to my friends, and we gone.